Now I'm here with Zoe Ford from Sea Change. Zoe is an ambassador for Sea Change. Good morning, Zoe. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
Absolutely delighted. Zoe, tell me your story.
Well, I suppose it's hard to know when my story actually started. I was diagnosed with depression when I was 18. I'd moved from Monaghan to Dublin to university, and that move really triggered a change in me. I mean, throughout my whole life, throughout secondary school, I can look back and say now, yes, I was struggling. I was always sad. I couldn't sleep. I'd cry myself to sleep at night. I found basic things like social interactions really difficult. And when I moved away from home, from my family to Dublin, it's when it really hit me. I isolated myself by moving away from my family and my support network. And I find the move extremely difficult. I find it hard to make friends. I find it hard to fit in. I went to UCD, and if anyone who's studied arts in UCD knows, the massive Theatre L there has 500 people in it. And there I was sitting amongst 500 other people, but feeling like I didn't fit in with anyone. And as my first year progressed, my mood got worse. I couldn't sleep at night. I stopped being able to eat. I lost my appetite. Physically and mentally, I was just drained. I kind of lost hope at a stage as well. I didn't know how to make myself happy. I didn't know how to change what I was in. And I also didn't recognise that what was happening to me wasn't normal. It wasn't an illness. It was an illness, but I couldn't see that. I just thought there was something wrong with me.
Now, I know that's very difficult to talk about, and to be honest, that's only the precursor to what we're really here to talk about, because we're not really here to talk about you. We're really here to talk about the stigma that's out there, but we have to set that scene first, I suppose, is the best way to put it. Can you tell me a little about what is the stigma of mental health like?
Well, I think looking back to when I was 18, I didn't know anything about mental health. I mean, I'm sure it was mentioned in secondary school, maybe primary school, but I couldn't recognise that what was happening to me was an illness, because you're not educated in that. My only understanding of mental health was what I'd seen in the media at that point. All I knew was to know, we all know Britney Spears when she shaved her head, or Sinead O'Connor and her breakdowns. And to me, that was all I could see, is what the newspaper printed. You know, you think of words like psycho, and anytime there's maybe a murder or a terrorist attack, you hear it's a mental health problem. So it was difficult for me to try and correlate that my struggles and how I felt and my lack of hope was actually that same thing. It was a mental health issue. To me, I just thought this was normal. This was what my life was. And in that sense, the lack of understanding is what stigma is, because I didn't know what was happening to me. And so I didn't know that I could get help, that that was even a possibility. And I think even if we look at films and TV today, most of what we see is representations of that too. It's always mental health in the crazy way. It's lunatic asylums. It's straitjackets. It's hard to try and challenge that when it's still what people see and understand about mental health.
And how does the stigma manifest itself in everyday life?
Well, I suppose as an 18-year-old, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know that I was able to go to a GP or a doctor and say, look, I'm struggling. I mean, somebody had to actually tell me, I've been through that too, and this is what you need to do. You need to go to a doctor and you need to get help.
Last Thursday was the launch of the Sea Change, or the Green Ribbon event. And I interviewed a number of politicians, from the Minister Jim Daly to Mary Lou MacDonald to the Lord Mayor, also John Saunders, the CEO of Shine, and Professor, and I have to be careful how I say this, Thornycroft, right? Have to be careful how you say that. As the man says, don't say that with a few drinks in you. But every one of them, when I ask, because I purposely ask them all the same question just to catch them out, see if they tell me something different. But they all said the same thing when I asked them if one of our listeners out there is sitting at home and they're going through this, what should they do? And they all said, go talk to someone.
Yeah.
It was, don't sit in your own, don't sit and wallow, as you might say, in it. Is get out there, talk to someone, be brave. And it does take bravery to do it.
And the thing is, if people don't know that, and this is where it comes back to the education and the stigma, if you don't know and you can't recognise in yourself that what is happening is an illness, it's hard to know that you can get help or that you can talk to somebody else. And to me, that was the thing that held me back, because if I look back throughout secondary school, the signs were there too. But I didn't know, my family didn't know the signs. We didn't know what we were supposed to be looking for. And I mean, without sounding very negative about it all, I did get help and I went to a doctor and they sent me to counselling, to a psychiatrist. And I mean, today I'd say I still struggle with my mental health, but I have far, far more good days, far more happy days. I actually can be happy now, which is something I couldn't be at the age of 18.
I'm a bit older than you, as you can see. Maybe somebody who's looking in on the webcam can see that there's a bit of an age gap between us. But I find that heart-wrenching. That I don't know what the word it is. Is it compassion within people? I think the world has changed in a way, and for the better. And I'm talking in quite a short space of time. I'm talking about over the last 10 years, there has been quite a change in the world and in people and how people consider others. I think there's a lot more consideration out there. Although, you know, you hear of all the bad things that are going on, but I also think then there's an awful lot of good things going on where people are far more concerned for their neighbour, are more concerned for them. They're not just walking by. The thing of it, in days gone by, when a student in a school was struggling and the teacher just ignored us and said, they're just a problem for me, so push them down to the back of the class. Hopefully that day is gone.
I'd like to think no one knew and that's why they didn't help. I mean, I kept everything bottled up. It only came out when I was at home in my bedroom on my own. Do you know? So it is hard for people to identify it when it's something that you don't display publicly. I mean, it is possible and it's easy for some people to put a smile on this, to walk around as if something's normal, as if they're happy and pretend everything's okay when inside they are really struggling and they've lost hope.
Well, there's the old song, you know, Tears of a Clown.
Yeah.
Which is basically that's what that story is about, is that the I'm going around with this lovely big smile on my face and everything's unhappy, but inside I'm dying, you know.
Yeah.
But would you just and I think we've mentioned it, but for the listeners out there, if somebody is, you know, concerned or worried. You know, if I'm concerned about a friend of mine, or if I'm the friend, you know, what advice would you give
to
someone?
What really helped me is I obviously didn't know who I could talk to or where to go for help. And it was a casual, random conversation with a friend, and they just asked, how are you? And no one had actually asked that, because when you're 18, you've gone to university, everyone expects that you're having a great time, you're living the perfect life, this is the dream. And when someone just asked me, that's when it came out and I realised I'm not okay. And I told them I wasn't okay, that I was finding things hard. So I would say, please just ask people, ask them how they are and tell them that you're there for them. Because one of the hardest things and one of the reasons people don't like talking about what they're going through is that they're scared of how other people are going to react. They're scared of that stigma. I remember when I went to the GP and then the psychiatrist and I got my diagnosis. They diagnosed me as having depression, severe depression. And I didn't know how to tell my parents. And I actually went home with my new medication that they'd put me on, my antidepressants, and I took them, and I just texted my mum, because I was like, I don't want to have this conversation in person. And I was like, went to the doctor, they said I have depression, be home at the weekend. And that was it, because I didn't know what way they'd take it. And I mean, I don't know why I had this doubt, but I think in a way you self-stigmatise yourself as well, and you think that you are a failure because you have a mental health problem. And I presumed my parents might be disappointed in me, or I didn't want to upset them either. And yet they are the most loving, supportive people. I mean, they are my support network.
Yeah, it's... I was just reading some material this morning, and they were talking about that somewhere around 450,000 people suffer from depression in Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah.
And then there was another 45,000 bipolar or something. You're suddenly up there at 250,000, and you're only looking at two areas mm-hmm. of it, and there are far more other areas.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's something we've said constantly this week, is that everyone in this country knows somebody, either within their family,
yeah,
or a close friend, that has suffered from.
There is, and the thing about depression especially, and the reason that the figure's so high there, is that it's not always a lifelong thing. It might be you develop it because of a life event, say a bereavement, and it's something that will pass. So having it is nothing to be ashamed of. It doesn't mean you're stuck with that label for the rest of your life. For some of us, we've had it our whole lives, or at least as far as I can remember. And maybe I will battle it forever. I don't know. But again, I don't think it's something I should be ever ashamed of having or knowing I have.
And it's the way my mind works. I was thinking of when I hear the word stigma,
mm-hmm.
It means to me is that you're being judged or oppressed on. And the first thing that comes into my mind, well, how are people being viewed? And particularly, say, we'll take it in a job interview mm-hmm. Situation. What happens?
I suppose in a way, I always think I'm a lot luckier than other people, in that my worst mental health time of my life is when I was in college. So it was never that I had to take time out of work, and I don't have a career gap that a lot of people who struggle later in life have on their CV. So it's something I can get away with in job interviews. I don't have to bring up. But I think as well, is then when you're in the workplace, you get a lot of stigma from people making comments that they don't know are hurtful, because they don't know. So things like saying, oh, I'm so depressed today. Isn't the weather so depressing? And that's a bit annoying, because depressing's not a description. It's an actual illness.
Yes. Yeah.
And I get that those people don't know that, but it's hard to go through days when you get all the media attention about mental health problems, and that's what everyone wants to talk about at lunchtime is, oh, terrorists, Donald Trump's mental health. And you're like, oh, it's not really how it works. You can't just look at somebody from afar and say, oh, they definitely have a mental illness, because you just don't know.
Ah, yeah, but we're talking about Donald Trump. No, I jest. And I suppose one thing, you have to have a sense of humour. If you don't have a sense of humour, it really is bad for you. Having a sense of humour, you know, keeps me going anyway at times. I've lost my train of thought on that. I shouldn't have mentioned Donald Trump, but he gets me going in another direction, which I shouldn't be talking about at all. But for people who are suffering, and yes, know what I wanted to say, I don't truly understand what depression is, because I've never been there.
Yeah.
I'm as the man says, touch wood, I'm lucky I've never been there. But I've heard descriptions of it. And if you know, there's even, you know, there's songs and everything written about it. I know Led Zeppelin and a number of others had a song called Black Dog. It's called Black Dog, a whole other thing. And it seems to be that, you know, when you're in the throes of it, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, as they say.
I think it's hard to try and describe what it's like, because it's almost without description, because your life, you can't describe it. It's a hollowness, it's an emptiness, it's something that's not there, and it's hard to describe something that's missing. But I remember, this was like January 2011, and I was walking home from college to the house I was living in. And I decided I'm going to take the long way home because I wanted some time by myself. And this was a good few months before I went to the doctor. And I was just walking down the street looking at the cars going past, and I just thought, I don't want to live anymore. And it's this just loss of all hope. You can't see a future. You can't see a point. And I know some people will also call it selfish to feel like that. And I understand that, because, I mean, it was. From what I could see and from the distorted view I had, I convinced myself that nobody would care if I was gone, that my family wouldn't care, wouldn't affect them at all. I rationalised it in my head that my little sister was young enough that she'd mightn't even remember me, she'd cope fine. It's a way of rationalising the irrational, is what depression is that you can somehow convince yourself of the very worst and that nobody cares. And I think one of the main things in my recovery that's really helped is reading and learning about mental health and mental illness in general. Because you learn that you don't have to trust every thought you have, that sometimes the thought that pops into your head is wrong, it's lying to you, your brain can lie to you, and it's a difficult thing to come to terms with. But there's an amazing book that one of my GPs recommended to me, and I always get his name wrong, so I'm going to apologise. It's either Dr. Alan Byrne or Dr. David Byrne, and it's an amazing CBT book that basically teaches you how to challenge your thoughts. And that's one thing that's always stuck with me and I've been able to do, is just recognizing, oh, that thought is illogical, because how could everyone in the world hate me? I don't know everyone in the world. And it's by challenging little bits like that and building up your resilience in that way.
I hate to you know, because I don't truly understand, but I don't, or should I say, I empathise, mm-hmm. but I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been through it, I can't understand it. And I'm, as you describe it, it's a dark place. But just for ordinary people, I got myself a number of years ago, as we were talking before the show, I used to work for Quinsworth and Tesco, and I used to travel the country basically selling Quinsworth and Tesco. And one of the things I did, because we have good days and bad days, you know, just an ordinary life, I always got up and I'd look in the mirror and I'd smile at myself and make myself laugh, because when I smile, people do laugh. But I do that and it has an effect on me, because when I actually force myself to smile, it actually makes me feel better.
It does. It's such a simple thing, but it actually works.
It actually works. Now, I'm not saying this is for people who are in that dark place, but for people in their ordinary day life, it is a good thing to get up and smile. It's amazing what just actually thinking yourself and telling yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, even this week, I've been having a very busy week, a very hectic week. And I keep a daily mood tracker where I kind of colour code it depending on what my mood is that day. And most of this month so far has been a lot of happy days. And then this week's been a lot of sadness creeping in. It's been a hard week. And what I had to do yesterday was force myself just to go to the gym. I really did not want to go to the gym. But I said, you better go, because you know that you are going to feel better afterwards. And I did. It cleared my head. The headache I'd had for 2 days was gone. It's the simple things. It's about trying to push yourself. That it's not just if you have a diagnosed mental illness. It's everyone has mental health. Everyone has good days. Everyone has bad days. Everyone gets sad. But it's about teaching people from a young age what you can do to help on those sad days, what you can do to build yourself up. And it is simple things like smiling in the mirror, going to the gym and having a workout, you know, reading your favourite book, going to bed early, whatever it is you need to look after yourself.
And it's, we're blessed here on the north side of the city that we have the walk out there in Clontarf out to Dollymount out that way, and that's a great place to go out for a walk. Or somewhere I was last week for the first time in donkey's years. I used to look after a football team down in St. Vincent's, and I'd be in St. Anne's Park on a Saturday morning putting up nets and getting things ready for a match, but I never went for a walk in St. Anne's Park. And last week I got an opportunity to go for a walk in St. Anne's Park with Aina Ní Leona. She was doing a piece, Let's Walk and Talk, for Dublin City Council, and it's just beautiful out in the fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Stretching the legs, and it is amazing how it does change your mood and supports you, you know you feel a little bit better.
It does. And I mean, on my worst days many years ago, going outside was the last thing I'd ever want to do. And it's hard sometimes to even get out of bed. I mean, I used to not shower because I couldn't even see the point in that. So I definitely was not going outside.
You were a teenager at that time?
I was a teenager.
Yeah, teenagers don't shower.
But it's really common, I think, with people with depression, is that you just lose interest in even the basic things like hygiene. You just don't see the point in it. And so I know that it is really hard for people to even go out in the sun. But you have to try something. You really do. I mean, for me, I went and I got medication. I'm still on medication 7 years later. And I'm fine with that, because if I hadn't have done that, and I know a lot of people are anti-medication for mental illness, and I get that. But at the same time, medication's what saved my life. Until I was on that, I was suicidal, and it put me back on a level playing field. I could actually feel again. And once I had that and that in place and built up a support network, I could do things like go outside again. So help differs for everybody. Some medication won't work for everybody. The same type of medication won't work for everybody. Exercise won't work for everybody. Yoga, meditation, there's so much stuff out there, but it's about trying a bit of everything and seeing what does work for you.
So we are fast running out of time, and I'm just amazed how quickly the time has gone chatting with you. Can you just tell us, if somebody wants to learn more or to get some more information, to get some support, where should they go?
Well, what we're doing this month is the Green Ribbon Campaign with Sea Change, and Sea Change, the national stigma reduction organisation in Ireland. So there are green ribbons available throughout the country, in your railroad stations, Boots pharmacies everywhere. There's different events around the country as well. So if you go to seachange.ie, you can find out more about that and the Green Ribbon Project. As well as that, if you're struggling right now and you need help, please talk to somebody. Talk to a friend that you can trust, a family member or a doctor. If you need somebody else externally to talk to, there's Samaritans and Pieta House that are really, really great support networks, and you can find their details online.
Now, thanks very much. So